Theater of the Mind.
When people say that someone lacks perspective, they often mean that that person simply doesn't understand. But it's a little more specific than that. Perspective, in overly simplistic terms, is a way of perceiving or evaluating something in light of or in comparison to nearby or related things. An example of a historical perspective would be evaluating people's actions or beliefs with regard to what was going on in that place at that time, not in light of current events or standards of the present day. Visually, perspective relates to the way our brains interpret things in relation with their surroundings and positioning relative to us when we see them. When we look at a solid object, for example, the image we perceive is actually slightly distorted because things appear smaller when they're farther away from our eyes. So, the farther edge of a cube would look a little shorter than the closer edge. We interpret this subtle distortion as perception of depth, and we get a general idea of the object's overall size and shape from it. We're so used to this that we tend to never notice it. But knowledge is power, and knowing the way our brains process and interpret what we see grants us the power to trick the observer into seeing something other than what's really there. This is where we enter the wonderful world of optical illusions. Object dimensions, angles, lighting, and positioning can be carefully distorted and arranged to fake the visual cues that our brains use to process what we see, and thus fool our perception of what's really there. This is called forced perspective. One common example of this is the picture virtually every tourist in Italy takes when they visit the Leaning Tower of Pisa. With the tower in the background, they stand in the foreground with their arms outstretched, while the photographer carefully positions the camera to make it look like the subject is holding the tower up to keep it from falling over. Other illusions popular with photographers involve positioning their hands around large distant objects like buildings, clouds, or the moon to make it look like they're holding them in miniature. These are cute tricks that make for entertaining pictures, but forced perspective tricks have been around for ages and are much more common than some people think. The principles of forced perspective have been used in architecture for centuries. Kings and nobles sometimes had lavish structures built with distorted angles and dimensions to make them look even bigger and more spectacular. There's a forced perspective gallery in Rome dating back to the early 17th century with fluted columns and vaulted ceilings that seems to be over 100 feet long. In actuality, it's built internally tapered, with the floor, ceiling, and walls coming toward one another, and all the details keep getting smaller and closer together. It's actually less than 30 feet in length, but it seems to stretch on and on. A lot of people are unaware that the Statue of Liberty is not naturally proportioned. This is because when it was built, flight was not as common, and most people would be looking up at it from the ground. It's so tall that it would look disproportionate with a little head if it were made realistically, so it was built in a top-heavy fashion. The princess castles at the Disney theme parks are built in the opposite way, tapering from the ground up to make them look much taller than they actually are. Forced perspective in filmmaking has been around pretty much since filmmaking began. For example, since large palaces are historically out of the budget of most filmmakers, miniature models or small paintings called mats would be made and placed in the foreground with the camera angled perfectly to make the image merge with the portion of the set, and voila, the actors now appear to be doing their thing in front of a massive structure or geological feature that they couldn't have visited in real life. Giants and dwarfs or fairies were traditionally faked by simply changing the dimensions of the set. If the trees, furniture, wallpaper patterns, and other details of the set are built uniformly oversized or undersized, it gives the illusion that the actors are very small or impossibly big. Think Japanese monster movie or The Incredible Shrinking Man. Peter Jackson used this extensively in Lord of the Rings, building two identical but differently sized sets for the different actors in many shots, like the inn at Bree or the inside of Bilbo and Frodo's house, to give the illusion that the hobbits were much different in size from Gandalf and the humans. In dialogue scenes, the hobbit actor was often several feet farther away from the camera than the actor playing the human character, and they would actually be talking and looking past each other, but faking the angles of their gaze to make it appear that they were face-to-face and making eye contact. For the haunter, forced perspective can have its limitations, but it is certainly a useful tool that can be used. One critical bit of detail is getting the right size and distance combinations to look natural. For example, consider the Pepper's Ghost effect, where an image reflected in an angled pane of glass is lined up with a scene setting beyond it to make it look like a transparent apparition is actually in the scene. Since the ghost reflection is very close to the observer, it must be small enough to match up with the distant objects it will appear to be among. The distance between the reflecting pane and the model or video that is the source of the image is regulated to change the size of the reflected image, and that can make the Pepper's Ghost an easy one to adjust. Not so easy, however, when using actual solid objects instead of reflected images. Their size can't be changed, so a forced perspective effect will be deadlocked to a specific viewing distance for a desired change in apparent size. One needs to know just how much an object appears to change in size at a certain distance. Fortunately, there's a fairly simple trigonometric formula one can use to determine an object's apparent size change at different distances. The formula, just in case you're interested in hearing it, is theta equals 2 times the cotangent of h over 2d, where d is the distance, h is the object height, and theta is the subtended angle. Since that probably sounded a lot like WTF times gobbledygook over the square root of bullshit, just look up forced perspective on Wikipedia and they show you the formula with a surprisingly clear explanation. Get a scientific calculator with trig functions on it. You can get one for 10 or 15 bucks, or just borrow one from a math or engineering geek or machinist, and they can help you set up the calculation for your desired scene or prop with that formula. You might think it sucks to inject math problems into something as fun and creative as haunting and prop building, but to paraphrase Carl Sagan, extraordinary effects require extraordinary preparation. Size and distance are not the only qualities that can be spoofed using perspective. Position and motion can also be intentionally misrepresented by changing the observer's viewing angle thanks to a principle of visual geometry called parallax. Parallax is essentially a measure of perceived change in position of an object when viewed along different lines of sight. To illustrate, imagine setting up three targets 10 feet or so apart from one another in a triangle formation. You're facing one side of the triangle and you see all three targets, with the one in the back appearing directly in the middle of the two in front. When you walk a few feet to one side and look again, the one in back now appears closer to the front target on that side. If you keep your eyes on it as you walk, it actually appears to move in the direction you're walking. If the one in back were large enough to appear the same size as the front ones, and you didn't know it was farther away, you might be fooled into thinking that they were all in a straight line and the middle one actually did move. Disney's Haunted Mansion and many other haunts use this principle with the faces on statues or busts. The faces are actually reversed like a concave dish, so when you walk by, the facial details, which are farther away from you than the face's outline on the bust, appears to be turning toward you. This is also done with the eyes of portraits, with the irises recessed behind the open eyelids, so the eyes appear to follow you no matter where you move. A very simple trick, but very effective when properly done. Parallax can also be used to make unrelated objects placed in different areas seem to come together to form an image that is only visible from one specific angle. This is a little trick called perspectival anamorphosis. Try saying that one after a few drinks. Unless you're doing it with very small objects, this would require some open ground to be able to pull it off, so it's probably something best attempted outdoors. For example, artificial bushes and trees could be arranged with the building's facade to suggest the shape of a skull when people approach from a particular angle. Or some tombstones, signs, and illuminated patches of wall could line up to form an arrow pointing to an area you wish to lead the guests to. This would be a prime trick to use in an interactive style haunt that uses some escape room elements like I mentioned in the last show. A truly ambitious detail monger could even arrange props to throw shadows that combine into a desired image when a particular lighting arrangement is turned on. Parallax, however, is a double-edged sword. While making some illusions work, it can destroy others which rely on a consistent, precise arrangement of viewing angle. The aforementioned Pepper's Ghost effect, for example, must be calibrated and viewed from one specific line of sight, because the reflected apparition is closer to the viewer than the scene elements it's supposed to be appearing near. Say you have a Pepper's Ghost set up in a window, arranged to show a ghost appearing on a chair. Because the image of the ghost is actually in the window and the chair is many feet beyond it, if the guest looks from off-center instead of head-on, the ghost will appear displaced off of the chair. For this reason, Pepper's effects are generally set up in tight windowed areas that are blocked from the sides so that it's impossible to see them beyond a very tight angle. If the apparent position of the ghost with respect to the furniture in the room is irrelevant, it's not as big a deal. But if the observers move beyond a certain angle while viewing, it will be obvious that the image is close to the window and not in the room itself. And the actual setup of the angled pane and the object might even be revealed. A simple effect that doesn't involve forced perspective but is sort of a parallax effect involves having people walk into a spot where previously viewed characters or creatures appear to be targeting them. Imagine yourself as a guest in a large yard haunt, for example, walking a convoluted path along which you encounter several static yard props along the way, looking away from you in different directions. Then, at some point near the end, you reach one spot where the gaps in the clearings reveal several of these creatures, and all of them are staring right at you. Creepy. Clearly, many of the concepts discussed here are pretty involved, and not something for the novice haunter to tackle. When you're trying to fool visual neurology evolved over millions of years, being piloted by a skeptical modern brain, you're going to need some high-precision work if the effect is elaborate. The old concave face or traveling eyes gag is a piece of cake. The aforementioned palazzo in Rome with the 30-foot gallery that looks over 100 feet long, well, that took some serious geometry and architecture. That's not to say a haunter can't do it, but it's not something you're going to throw together in October. If you'd like to add some ridiculously long hallways, galleries, and whatnot to your mansion or mummy's chamber, you can do it, but it takes math, plenty of drawing, and probably some test models. In fact, it would behoove the haunter to build models first of most of the bigger and more elaborate effects. Fortunately, the internet is your friend and contains reams of information about these illusions and how they've been created over the years. Some topics to look up are depth perception, optical illusion, forced perspective, Ames rooms, parallax, anamorphosis, and vanishing point, to name but a few. Especially look at any source that shows these techniques being used in photography and filmmaking or stage. Haunting can be as simple or elaborate as the haunter desires. It's always fun, so long as you put your heart into it. The seasoned haunter can get a bit jaded over the years, though, wanting to find new challenges to beat and pinnacles to reach. Well, the world of forced perspective and 3D illusions awaits any haunter who wishes to go over the top and create some truly mind-bending effects. Some non-Halloween fanatics may not understand why any adult would go to such lengths in preparation for a silly holiday. Well, they clearly just don't understand. You might say they lack perspective. So, create one for them and drop them into it. When they see your world from a different angle, they just might start to perceive Halloween in a whole new way. Keep the ghost light burning. From the Theater of the Mind, I'm Revenant, and you're listening to Hauntcast.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing Hauntcast with all your haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.